All right, thank you for that. So 1 Peter chapter 5, and I had a different sermon lined up for you guys tonight, but I was speaking to my brother this afternoon, and this verse was brought up, and this verse kind of made me think, you know what, this is worth preaching on tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice the next things. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The title for the sermon tonight is Establish and Settle. Establish and Settle. And we're just speaking about how, you know, at times in our Christian life, we can feel a little bit unsettled. We can be feeling a little bit unsure about the future or even unsure about our current times. And, you know, there are times when you feel very secure. You feel very sure. You know, but then other times things pop up and things that you may have never expected in life to pop up. And all of a sudden, you're unsettled and you're not sure. And we'll think about, you know, how is it that we can be established? How is it that we can feel settled? And this is what I want to speak about today, how you can be established and settled. You know, maybe your entire life feels unsettled right now. Maybe there are different areas of your life that you feel that are unsettled. Maybe you feel unsettled in your marriage. Maybe you feel unsettled in your relationships with your children. You may feel unsettled with your finances or your work, or you may feel unsettled about a place to live. All these things can cause you a little bit of anguish. But I want you to notice what we saw there in verse number 10. After you have suffered a while. See, God's got a purpose for our suffering. And in order for us to be settled and established, we may very well need to go through a bit of difficulties. Okay, I mean, that makes sense, right? If God wants to establish us and settle us and strengthen us and make you perfect, and we saw in that verse, well, it's because we're in a time when we're unsettled, when we're not feeling strong, where we're feeling quite weak. And so I want to give you a few points tonight as to how you can work on being settled. Let's get the context. Let's find out exactly where this verse comes from. Why, you know, does Peter speak of this verse? Backtrack with me to verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Now, this is a warning sign. This is a significant warning sign in our Christian life. It says in verse number 8, be sober. All right, now, what does it mean to be sober? So we'll say, well, don't be drunkard. Well, yeah, of course. If you're drunkard, you're not sober. But being sober means to be alert, to be aware, to have all your senses, okay? So, you know, it's not just alcohol. You know, drugs can do this to you. You know, they can put you in a stupor. But, you know, really, when it comes to our Christian life, it's just being watchful, being aware that there are dangers in this world. So be sober, be vigilant, all right? Because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we forget about the devil, right? I mean, there's enough troubles in life, you know? You've got the battle of the flesh. You've got battle against this world and the influences this world wants to put on you to walk away from the faith and to be less faithful toward God. But there's also the devil, right? And he's walking about. And brethren, if we're going to be doing great things for God, you know it's going to bother the devil. And I believe this church has been doing some great things for God. And the devil's going to be walking about, seeking whom he may devour. When I think of that, seeking whom he may devour, I often think about how, you know, you see these documentaries of animal documentaries and lions that hunt. And they're always watching. They're always hidden. You know, or some tiger or something. They're always hidden in the grass. Just waiting for a point of weakness. Waiting for a little baby maybe to be distracted away from the parents. Or waiting to see if there's an injured creature amongst the herd. One that's not going to run very quickly. One that is easy to catch. And brethren, the devil is watching your life. The devil is watching this church to see where is a weakness. Where is it that I can creep in and cause damage? And then verse number 9, whom resist. Brethren, we're going to have to resist the devil. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Not only is the devil seeking to hurt us and our families and our children, and our churches, but he's seeking to hurt our brethren all throughout the world. The devil's looking at all the churches, all the people that name the name of Christ, and he's seeking, how can I destroy God's people? And so you can see as we're leading up to that verse in number 10, what the direct reference is here, the devil. The devil coming along. And brethren, the devil's going to unsettle you. You know, even when you're sober and when you're vigilant, somehow the devil just knows when to attack. Look, he's done this for thousands of years now. He's gotten good at attacking God's people. Okay? The most subtle things. You know, with Eve, how subtle he was when he tempted Eve to take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse number 10, that's a scary thing to think of the devil, and yes, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, after you've suffered in context here, the devil's caused you to suffer. The devil's devoured. The devil's taken a bite, taken a chunk in your life. The devil's unsettled you in your life, caused dramas and conflicts and situations, and you just don't know. You just don't know, you know, what is going on. But I love how God, the God of grace, he's watching. He knows. Okay, he's aware of the attack. It says, after that you have suffered a while. You see, God allows the suffering to come. Okay? God allows it. Why? It says, to make you perfect, well-rounded. Brethren, we need, as we grow in our Christian life, we need to learn how to resist the devil. We need to learn how to battle this enemy. Okay? And you know, the only way you can learn is by going to war. By going to war with the devil. And guess what? Sometimes the devil wins. Sometimes he has victory in your life. Okay? And you're going to suffer a while. But God wants to make you perfect. He wants to establish. That means he wants to ground you, right? Strengthen. He wants you to be stronger than you were before. Like, you know, obviously the attack of the devil's made you weak, hasn't it? It's weakened you. Unsettled you. But God is saying, look, through this process, he can make you stronger. Settle you. Do you feel unsettled? I feel unsettled. The past few months, I've been feeling very unsettled. But you know what? God can settle you. Amen. God can settle your heart. God can settle your mind. God can make you stronger, right? I mean, look, that's what we see in God's word, right? If you're unsettled tonight, you know, if you feel burdened and unsure and, you know, what does God want? Where am I going? What am I doing? Look, take this promise. Take this promise from God's word and say, God, I see you want to strengthen me, make me perfect, right? To where it may be made perfect. Don't forget that doesn't mean sinless. That means well-rounded, right? Matured, growth, all these things. And Lord, I see this in your word. I want to take that word. Please apply this to my life. But be careful what you're asking, because you may very well have to suffer a while in order to go through this process of growth and strengthening. And brethren, when you are settled, verse number 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Once you're grounded and settled, like, Lord, you know, you're to all glory, dominion forever. And what I like about that verse, just that final verse, you know, it feels like the devil's there on the attack and the world's falling apart. And it just feels, man, I don't know where I stand in this world. But then we're just reminded, well, God is over it all anyway. He's our Father. He'll strengthen you. There's nothing for us to be afraid of. Nothing happens without God's awareness. He knows what's going to take place. He knows when you're feeling unsettled. He knows you were going to feel unsettled. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things, and that should give us a lot of comfort. But point number one for you, brethren, is to be established. To be established and settled, you must go through suffering. You must go through suffering. It's uncomfortable. No one likes to go through suffering. Who wants to go? But the advantage of us as believers, when we go through the suffering, we know there's a good end result that can come out of this. And brethren, my goal tonight is to give you some tips. Point number one there is, you know, you're going to need to go through suffering. And are you brave enough to say, Lord, I'm willing to go through some suffering. I'm willing to taste a little bit of the suffering of Christ in my life so I can be strengthened, so I can be even stronger, so I can be even more established. You know, that I can be even more settled, you know, in my position as one of your child. Now, turn with me to another passage. Come with me to Psalm chapter 7. Psalm 7 and verse number 8. Psalm 7 and verse number 8. So the first point, to be established and settled, you must go through suffering. You must go through suffering. Now, when the devil does attack in your life and you are going through suffering and you're going through difficulties, I want you to remember that God, we saw this already, that God sees all, right? Dominion over all things, right? We know that God sees the devil. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He sees your heart, okay? And if the devil's using wicked people to hurt you, he sees the hearts of those wicked people. And we're reminded here in Psalm 7, verse 8, it says, the Lord shall judge the people. The people is all people, okay? That means believers, and God will judge unbelievers. God will judge the people. Now, the psalmist says, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. And notice the next words. And according to mine integrity that is in me. You know, when I read many times in the Bible, the psalmist and David saying, Lord, judge me, search my hearts. You know, so I think, man, what a great prayer. Like, what confidence there is in these people to say, look, Lord, search me. Like, I'm afraid. Honestly, I'm afraid to say to God, God, search my heart. Because he might find something in there that's not very pleasant. But I want you to notice that, let's talk about the integrity for a minute, but look at verse number 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. So God judged the wicked, right? Let them come to an end. But then he's talking about judging himself. He says, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. So Lord, the psalmist says, look, I'm just, Lord. Lord, I'm a righteous man. Lord, I'm being attacked by the wicked. But he says, look, I'm a man of integrity. He says, and according to mine integrity that is in me. And then he says, Lord, establish the just. Now that you've passed judgment, and you've seen that I'm just, you've seen that I've got integrity. Lord, you've seen that there's righteousness in me. Lord, you see that this attack of the wicked, this attack of the enemy, you know, is not my doing, Lord. It's outside of my control. Lord, can you judge us all? And he says, you know what? I'm going to come out and I'm going to be established. The Lord is going to establish the just. Point number two, brethren, I have for you is, you must, even in the time of suffering, even in the time when you're uneasy and you feel unsure of things, you must maintain your integrity. Maintain your integrity, okay? Now, the word integrity means honest. It means whole. It means being undivided. Like, think of math, integrity. Integer. You know what an integer is? It's a whole number. It's not a fraction. It's a whole number, an integer. Integrity comes from that root word, being whole, not being divided. All right? Listen, when you're going through difficulties and suffering, it might be tempting to go, Lord, I don't know where you are. Lord, I think you've forgotten all about me. Lord, I'm just, you know what? It's just not working. I'm not going to, be in church. And I'm not going to walk in your ways because just Christianity, just the life doesn't seem to work, Lord. No, you maintain your integrity. You say, you know, even when things just aren't going my way and I'm being attacked and the devil's on my back, you know what? I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to bless him. I'm still going to walk righteously. I'm still going to maintain my integrity. I'm not going to move away from the doctrines that I've established, grounded myself, you know, as I read and studied God's word. And look, you need to maintain that integrity to be established. And I can speak of people that I've seen in my Christian life that I thought were on fire for God. I thought they will last a distance and they talk a big game. But when things get too difficult, they're out. Out of the church, not walking with the Lord. Right? And it's like, where's your integrity? You know, you're divided. You've got like these divided, like, it didn't work out the way I wanted. I'm going through a suffering that I didn't want to go through. Therefore, I'm done with it. It's just not worth it. Reverend, that's not how we should be. Amen. You know, God says if we can just maintain that integrity, he will establish us. Say, Lord, can you judge me? Do you have that confidence to say, you know, if you're feeling unsettled right now, whatever your situation is, Lord, can you judge my heart? Can you see if there is any wicked way in me? And if there's any wicked way, Lord, can you cleanse that? Can you forgive me for that? And Lord, judge me by the righteousness and the justice and the honesty that I have within me, the clear conscience that I have within me. But point number two is you must maintain your integrity. Come with me to another psalm. Psalm 90, please. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. So this whole sermon has been about being grounded, being established, being settled. And Psalm 90, I want you to look at the introduction to the psalm. You know how we've got a title for the psalm? I want you to notice that it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So Psalm 90 is not a psalm of David. It's actually a prayer of Moses that, you know, the Lord, by divine inspiration, allowed the psalmist to pen these words, all right? And I want you to notice what Moses, we know Moses, look, Moses was a great man. What a great man he was, right? Like, he could have just stayed in Egypt, you know, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? Pharaoh's grandson, all the riches, the great education, easy life. And he said, you know what? No, I'd rather suffer with God's people. And then he comes back at the age of 80 years old. 80 years old. And leads them out of that nation, the most powerful nation on the earth at that time. Amazing miracles God did through him and his help with his brother Aaron. And they led the people of Israel, the children of Israel, you know, out of Egypt. And God, you know the great miracles that God did with Moses. Okay, but I want you to notice what Moses says in his prayer in verse number 16. Psalm 90, verse number 16. He's speaking to God here. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. So again, the context is Moses. Let thy work, God's work, appear unto thy servants. So, you know, they saw great miracles. They saw the plagues, right? Fall in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea being parted, and they could walk through dry ground, right? They saw these amazing things. And God says, look, we want to see your work. We want it to be glorious to your servants. So we know about the work of God. But I love what he says in verse number 17. He then kind of flips it about our work. In verse number 17, he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So what is Moses doing? He says, man, I've seen your works, God. It's amazing. Lord, let some of that beauty fall upon us. Lord, as we go and labor and work for you, Lord, can you please establish our work? Brethren, point number three is you must continue working. Amen. If you want to be grounded, established, strengthened, and settled, listen, don't give up is the point, okay? Point number three, you must continue working or don't give up. Keep working. Keep pushing yourself. All right, the devil's come along. He's taken a bite. He's unsettled you, but you keep serving the Lord. Amen. You keep laboring for Him. You keep pushing forward with the things that you know God wants you to do. Amen. And the psalmist says, God, you will establish my work. Like, my work is not going to it's not going to be void. It's not going to be vain. It's not going to be empty. It's going to be of use. And I can turn around and say, Lord, even when I'm being unsettled and I'm not sure and I'm struggling, but Lord, I'm just going to continue. Lord, you bless my hands. You bless the work that I'm doing. And God's going to come through and you'll be established. Not just yourself and your heart and your mind, but what you accomplish in life will stand true, will be established. Friend, there's so many advantages to just soldiering on, even when sometimes you may not feel like it. Right? And you know, when you don't feel like soldiering on, you know, that's the flesh, the weak flesh. And that's okay. Let the flesh be weak, okay? And let your spirit be strong, all right? And you say, you know what? I'm going to put on the strong new man, and I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to work. I'm going to labor. I'm going to be productive, right, in my life. And I'm going to soldier on. I'm not going to give up. But you know what? If you give up, you know, when you give up, that's when you really fall hard. You know, so I get a lot of phone calls and lots of people ask me for advice. And I'm not the kind of pastor that will, you know, visit you and spend hours and hours with you, but I'll do my best to give some good advice over the phone or even in person. But a lot of people share issues and problems they have, you know. And my go-to is essentially, look, yes, that's an issue, and we'll deal with that in a moment. But let's talk about the things that are going well for you at the moment. You know, someone might say, hey, Pastor, you know, I'm having some issues with my wife. Whatever. And like, hey, brother, thank God you've got a wife. Because there are single people that are searching and they feel lonely and they want somebody they can spend their life with. You know, there are good elements, even when things seemingly go bad, you know. And brother, you've got a roof over your head. You've got a solid job. And, you know, I remind this brother, before they kind of collapse with the one struggle, the one uncertainty they have, you know what? You've got all these other great things that keep you grounded. Just keep going to the things that you're grounded on. Keep working for the Lord. Let the Lord bless you in that area, okay? And then take your issues and your problems to God. Let Him settle you in that area. But brethren, you must continue working. Come with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse number 1. James chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now, the immediate context of James chapter 5, verse number 1 is of future events, but we can still apply it today. And I just want to show you just how relevant, or just how all-knowing God is. All right, verse number 1, the preacher says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now, I won't go into all of this, but James is saying, look, the problem on the earth are these rich men. And brethren, the people that cause problems and issues in our world are the rich men. Okay? They've got power, they've got influence. James, look, it was the same in James' time. It's always been the same. And even when it comes to the end times, it's going to be the same. Okay, drop down to verse number 6. The reason I wanted to just introduce you that he's preaching against rich, he's not preaching, these words are not to God's people. Okay, he's preaching to these wicked people, then drop down to verse number 6. So he's still continuing preaching against these wicked people. It says, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. All right, so look, you rich men, you wicked men, you're attacking just people, you're attacking God's people, but they're doing nothing in return against you. All right? And so once again, like we started, if we want to be established and settled, you may have to suffer a while. And brethren, when it comes to the end times, and you know when it comes down to the tribulation, there will be great persecution on God's people. They'll be suffering for a while, all right? But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 7. Now he's speaking to God's people, all right? He says, and now I want you to notice how many times he says the word patience in the next few verses. Verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, look at this, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse number 8, be ye also patient. It's 3 times already in a very short period of time. Be ye also patient. Look at this. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Reverend, point number 4, in order for you to be established and settled, you must be patient and set your eyes on the coming of the Lord. Be patient and set your eyes on the coming of the Lord. Reverend, one day Christ is coming. All right? And we know, it's amazing because we know the Bible tells us the world's going to get worse. All right, and there's going to be a greater departing of the faith. All right, we're warned of these things in the Bible, and then we kind of complain, but the Bible's already warned us that this is happening. And brethren, as we see this world get more and more corrupt and our nation become more and more wicked, it can unsettle you. You say, what about our future? What about whatever? What, my children? And, you know, some people are so unsettled. I've met Christians that have decided not to have any kids because they don't want their kids growing up in the tribulation or something. Or the kids growing up in a wicked world. I mean, look, still have your children. still have your kids. Because who's going to reach the next generation with the gospel? Ideally, it's our children. Ideally, it's our families.
Amen.
And look, if they reach people with the gospel, they're going to earn great rewards. They're going to be glorified in heaven. You know, Jesus is going to... what's the word I'm saying? Jesus Christ is going to... Yeah, reward. I was going to say, say their name to the Father. The Bible says it a certain way. Confess. Yeah, that's right. You know, Jesus is going to confess their name to the Father. They're going to say, look, Father, look how well this person did and how well this person did. And I tell you, it'll be all worth it. But when this world gets worse and you get unsettled and you're not sure, just remind yourself, hold on, it's not going to be like this forever. Christ is coming back. Amen. And it's going to be different. And we're going to be with Christ. That's the thing. Even if we die before that time, Christ is going to bring us back and we're going to rule and reign with him those 1,000 years. That's a promise. That's locked in. You're coming back to this earth, not on your own, but with Christ on this earth. I've often thought when I was a kid, because I didn't understand the end times that well when I was a child, but I often used to say to myself, man, it would have been so good if I was born, if I was alive when Jesus walked the earth. That would have been great. But I am going to be alive when Jesus Christ walks the earth. I'm going to be my resurrected body. It's even going to be even greater than that. And he's going to rule. And that should settle you. Christ is coming back, right? If you can, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. I don't know about you, brethren, but I often just think about Jesus Christ coming back and just gives me great joy, great comfort. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that what John said? Even so, just come. Right? Just come, Lord, you know? And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please, verse number 17. It's the same teaching, it's the same idea, okay? But it says here in verse number 17, and it's a funny verse here because... Well, let's read it. For our light affliction. So it doesn't feel light. Are you sure, Paul? He's writing to the Corinthian church. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, when you're going for afflictions and the devil's attacked or whatever it is, it feels like it's ongoing. It feels like it's never going to end. But it's light. In comparison, we'll soon see, right? It is for a moment. It says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Then it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, your struggles and your uncertainties and my uncertainties, it's temporal. It's light affliction. It's but for a moment. In comparison to eternity. So the teaching is similar, like we saw earlier. Right? If you want to be established and settled, look forward to the coming of Christ. Set your eyes on Christ and his return. But the whole point of that is that's ultimately eternity. That's on spiritual matters, not on carnal things. Right? Set your eyes on the right things, and that's going to help establish and settle you. Come with me to another passage, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 21. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21. Colossians 1, 21. I'm probably going to speed through this one because it's just a basic one that we often speak about. And we know it's true. We know this one's very true. But Colossians 1, 21, it says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled. So there was a time when we were alienated, we were strangers, we were enemies, right? We had these wicked works in our life. It says, now have he reconciled, right? He's brought us in fellowship with God by salvation. Verse number 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So even though we have these wicked works and stuff like that, you know what? We've been redeemed. We've been saved. When we stand before God, it's holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That's how God sees us through his Son. wonderful. But then it says in verse number 23, if you continue in the faith, look at this, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Brethren, he says, look, if you continue in the faith, it says, in the hope of the gospel. You know what this says to us? That we can be saved, we can trust Christ as Savior. And I'm sure you've experienced this, because I have. You know, you go through life, and like when you're newly saved, you're excited, woohoo, praise God, right? You're like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Lord, to be at your side and to walk in your ways. But then life, you know, life happens. And uncertainties come in, and you know, and problems and all this stuff, and you lose the hope. You lose, not that you, you know, start doubting if you're unsaved. You kind of forget the joy of your salvation. That's why the psalmist says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We kind of forget about it. You know, we focus on the problems and the issues, and we forget, oh, but praise God, I'm actually going to heaven. I'm actually saved. I'm never going to taste the second death. I've been redeemed. I've been cleansed. I'm one of God's children. And brethren, point number five that I have for you in this point is, you know, we can be established and settled by remembering your hope in the gospel. Just remind yourself how glad you are that you are saved. Because we forget that sometimes. It just becomes something, yeah, I got saved 10 years ago, and you know, but now I've got problems. Yeah, but you're still saved. And so continue in that faith, grounded and settled. That's what settles you, brethren. And be not moved from the hope of the gospel. You know, another thing that's helped me in life when I've been unsettled, and you may even have lost a little bit of the joy of the salvation that you have because you're so distracted with all the problems. You know what fixes that immediately, in line with what we're reading here? Telling someone else the gospel. Telling someone else how to be saved. You know why? Because your problem, in light of their soul going to hell, is so insignificant. And when they reject the gospel, you're like, oh, broken. Right? It's like, oh, why can't they just hear? Why can't they just give me 5 minutes of their time? You know, if they end up in hell, they're going to regret not listening to that person at the door. And when someone gets saved, and the joy in your heart when someone gets saved, and boy, that just overshadows all your problems. I mean, wouldn't you swap? How do I say this? Wouldn't you swap? Yeah, all right. So let's say you're on your way to hell. And you say, okay, we can fix that and you can go to heaven. But you're going to have a lot of problems in life. Or no problems in life, but you die and go to hell for all eternity. I mean, isn't it obvious? Just take me to heaven. Give me all the problems of the earth. Because it's light affliction. It's just but for a moment. And you've got that. So that should settle you. And look, I honestly mean that. You know, I've put that into practice times when I've been just a bit cold, a bit unsure, just a bit losing motivation. Go and knock a door. Just, you don't feel like it because you're losing that. Like you're losing that excitement. Just go and knock a few doors and just remind yourself, man, that soul behind that door is on their way to hell. What do I have to complain about? Man, I should just rejoice in my position before Almighty God. So point number five is remembering. You're going to be established and settled by remembering your hope in the gospel. Now, let's turn to our final passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. I wanted to end on this one because I really want us to... If there's any of these points that, you know, you take home with you and think about and apply, I really want you to apply this last one. Okay, so I left it for last so you can retain your memory. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1, okay, so we know Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. He's writing to the church because he's not present, okay? And he's a little concerned about, you know, because Paul and his travelers, they've been going through a lot of persecution, and is a little bit concerned about the state of the Thessalonian church, okay? Because obviously, you know, when you see people going through persecution, and especially God's people doing God's work, it can bring a bit of unsettledness in the hearts of people. You know, oh man, you know, if we stand out for God, if we do things, you know, we will suffer persecution, and you can be a bit unsettled with that thought. And so he says in verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." So they're in Athens, okay, but they couldn't forbear. They needed to go and see the church. So it says in verse number 2, "And sent Timotheus," that's Timothy. We know that Timothy is a pastor, okay? "Sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ," look at this, "to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." He says, look, let me send Pastor Timothy to you to establish, to strengthen, to settle the church, right? Timothy's come in with great preaching, right? To motivate, to encourage, to settle the church, because like that, they weren't sure how the church was faring. So can you see that thought there? Okay, and then it says in verse number 3, "that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Okay, so we're sending Timothy so you know that you don't get moved, you don't get distracted, you don't get unsettled in your faith. Timothy is there to encourage you, to motivate you. So point number 6 is, we can be established and settled by encouraging yourself in the strength of the brethren. Let me repeat that. You can be settled and established by encouraging yourself in the strength of the brethren. Now, when it comes to this church, they're going to be encouraged by the strength of Timothy. Timothy is coming to strengthen them, to establish them. Okay? What I'm trying to say to you, brethren, is this, and this is really important. Isn't it true that we have ups and downs? We have good times and bad times. Sometimes we're just on fire for God, and sometimes we're just in the dumps. Look, I hope that as a pastor, I hope that I've been a good example. I hope there have been times when you've been a little bit in the dumps spiritually, and I hope you've seen in your pastor a man who loves you, a man who's faithful, a man who loves Jesus, a man who loves the Word, right? And a man doing the best he can to teach you God's Word. And I hope that has established your hearts. Okay? But it's not just one way. Let's continue reading. Verse number 4. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Like, guys, we have to suffer tribulation, persecution. We're going to suffer a while, right? These things happen to God's people. For verse number 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear," he goes, I had to know about you guys. He goes, "I sent to know your faith," right? "Lest by some means the tempter," there is the devil again, "the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." He goes, look, I just had to know your state. I know the devil. I know the tempter wants to hurt you, church. I know the devil wants to unsettle you. I know he wants to weaken you. And so we couldn't forbear. We had to send Timotheus. We had to know about your state. And then it says in verse number 6, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us," so Timotheus came back. Timothy's come back, right, from the church, "and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren," look at this. Look, so Timothy came back and goes, you know what? The Thessalonian church is in good shape. They're faithful. They're committed. They're strong. They remember us in prayer. They're thinking of us. And this report comes back to Paul by Timothy. And he says in verse number 7, "Therefore, brethren, we," that's the leaders, Paul and Timotheus, right? "We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." He says, church, I've seen you stand fast in the Lord. You haven't been moved. You've been strong. And in the strength of your faith, in the strength of your character, we have also been comforted, right? In our affliction and distress, Paul's been distressed. Paul's had times when he was unsettled and unsure. But when he's found out that the church is doing well and doing strong, he goes, man, that comforted me. That helped me. Verse number 8 again, for now we live. Like now, like not that he's dead, but like he says, yeah, now I'm really living. Like, I'm so happy that you stand fast. If you stand fast in the Lord, man, you guys are doing so well. And brethren, can you see how he starts by sending Timothy to strengthen the brethren? But then when the news came back, Timothy, Paul, maybe Silvanus, they were strengthened by the state of the church. What that tells me, brethren, is that we can rub off on each other, right? Like I said, I hope I've been a good example to you guys, you know? And some of you guys have said that to me, and I appreciate that. But believe it or not, you guys have also been a great example to me. When I see you established, when I see you strong, when I see you faithful, you know what? That helps me when I'm unsettled. You know, I'm not like, oh, man, I wish I was like him. I go, praise God. Praise God. You know, when we're not doing the best and we're feeling down and we're downcast, you know what? But I see brother so-and-so come along and he's soldiering on. And, you know, I know brother Michael doesn't want to, you know, but when I see brother Michael, no matter what, he's out there every week, week in, week out, going fishing. It's like, amen. Praise God. Strengthens you, doesn't it? It should do. You know, that's why I want, you know, on our Facebook Messenger group, just post the salvations. It's an encouragement. It's not showing off. We're not boasting of ourselves. We know salvation is not of us. It's of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's an encouragement. Amen. It motivates. It strengthens. It establishes us. So, brethren, I just wanted to bring that because I really like that thought. You know, you can be strengthened and established by encouraging yourself in the strength of the brethren. If you're down, you're cast down, unsettled, look at those that are on fire. Come, man, God, you are still using the brethren of our church. And I'm part of this church. Right? We're working and we're laboring together. And we know, of course, the Lord's going to reward each one of us individually for the works that we've done. But it's pretty clear to me that the Lord's also going to reward the church as a whole, as pastors have to give an account to the church. It says, hey, submit yourself to those that have the rule over you because it'll be profitable for you. There's something that God will reward a church for the work that we've done together. So I like that. I like that. You know, I want to be settled and established and strong all the time. I hope. But it's not always. I may appear that way on the outside, but sometimes on the inside I'm not. In the past few months I've not. But I've been strengthened. You know what I've been strengthened by? You guys traveling. I say, you know what? I'm coming to New Life Baptist Church. You know, I'm willing to move from another nation to be here. And I just think, wow. You know, God, what are you? You know, God, you must be blessing us. God, you must see our faithfulness and you see the need in our church and you're ready to bless us and to grow our church. That strengthens me. Amen. That encourages me. God, brethren, in a few weeks from WA, they're going to be here. That's going to strengthen me again. And so what I'm trying to say is we need to draw strength from each other. Amen. Yeah? Instead of looking at others that are doing well and going, oh man, I wish I was like that. Or just, I'm glad they're doing well. And I'm going to be comforted. I'm going to rejoice how my brethren are established and strong. And that's going to help me be established and settled in my heart. So brethren, in summary, to be established and settled, at least in these points that I have for you tonight. Number one, remember that you must go through suffering. You must. This is life, and you've all suffered, and we've all suffered in life. Number two, you must maintain your integrity. Number three, you must continue working. Don't give up. Number four, be patient and set your eyes on the coming of the Lord. Number five, that was number four. Number five, to be established and settled, you must remember your hope in the gospel. You know, your joy in the gospel. And number six, by encouraging yourself in the strength of the brethren. Okay, let's pray.